Okay, so imagine you're at a wedding and the person next to you doesn't speak Hebrew, or they do speak Hebrew, but they really don't understand it so well. And they say to you, like, what's going on when they call up the Mesader Kedushin, right? So we have Berchas Erusin, right? So what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvotav, Tzivanu Al Ha'arayos, V'yasar Lanu Et Arusot. Now, with this song, it sounds really beautiful. V'yasar Lanu Et Arusos, V'hitir Lanu Et Sanusuos, right? It sounds beautiful, but it really, what we're saying is, blessed be God, right, who forbids us in certain unions, right? And we're not allowed to, you know, have relations with people that are betrothed, but it's okay if they're married to us. Al yidei chupa v'kiddushin. And then, Baruch atah Hashem, mekadesh amo Yisrael, al yidei chupa v'kiddushin. The bracha is like a little bit of a, like, I don't know, it's like, it's missing something there. And yet, we get, like, you know, the Mesader Kedushin, and this is like where it starts. But then we go into like the Berachas Sheva Brachos. So, you know, then also, like, this is a wedding, but what do? Number three, Yotzer HaAdam, that God created Adam, or created man, right? And then we go to number six, Sameach Tesameach Reim Ahuvim, Kesameichecha Yitzircha B'Gan Eden Mikedem. We're talking about Reim Ahuvim, these best friends, and we're talking about, you know, Gan Eden, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mesameach Chatan Mekala. And then the last one, right, the day will come where they'll hear it in Yerushalayim and the cities of Yehuda, Kol Sasum and Kol Simcha. What is going on? None of them really have much to do. I mean, the last one has a little bit of it, right? It's a Shabara Chasim Megala, but it seems like there's this, I don't know, this like sidebar that doesn't really seem to meet, you know, what we kind of look at weddings as. So first off, my question would be, what's with Berachas Erusin? Why is that the bracha that we have to have? And then why do we get sidetracked with Reim Ahuvim, Yotzer Adam, Gan Eden, Mashiach? Like, what's up with all of that? So that's my first question. Then what I'd like to try to do is I'd like to try to understand why it is that we spend so much time, Achremus Kedoshim, when you read this to yourself in Shabbos morning, so much time on the Arayos, all these forbidden relationships. Like, it's a lot, it's a bit much. I don't know, you kind of like get lost in a place where you really can't share a certain Divrei Torah because you're like, I don't know, I'm going to talk about this. Why do we spend so much time on the Arayos? So those are my first two questions. And that's before we look at any of the psukim. But once we start looking at the psukim, I think the next question that we have to deal with is some of the psukim themselves kind of raise certain questions. So let's take a look together at the sources. I hope everybody has it. Daber Hashem el Moshe le'mor. God speaks to Moshe saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael amarta lehem, ani Hashem elokeichem. God says, I am the Lord your God. Now that's a lot. In Kedoshim, we have a lot of those, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, over and over again, or Ani Hashem. There's a lot of that. K'masei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bah Lo Ta'asu. You should not behave like the Egyptians. U'k'masei Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mevi Etchem Sham Bah Lo Ta'asu. And same with the way the people, same as the way people behaved in Canaan. God says, I don't want you to behave either way. Sham lo tasu uchukoteyem lo telechu. And you should not keep their laws. Right? So God is saying, like, you came from Egypt. That's a land that, you know, is depraved. You then went to Canaan, the same thing. So he says, stay away from that. Like, you just can't behave that way. Emishbatai tasu, I want you to keep my laws. Bet chukotai tishmu lalecha bahem, and keep my, again, you have the Mishpatim and the Chukim, keep everything, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So says God. U'shmartem echukotai v'mishpatai asher yaseh otam adam, v'chai bahem, Ani Hashem. And you got to keep all these mitzvos. Why? V'chai bahem. Because you're going to live by them, Ani Hashem. V'chai bahem. What does it mean, v'chai bahem? What does v'chai bahem have to do with anything with that Arayos? In fact, who can ask a question about why v'chai b'hem is probably the last thing you should have right before the Arayos? right? What does v'chai b'hem mean? It means that you got to live by these things. Okay, that's great. Say that again. Yeah, these are things you're not allowed to do. Meaning if somebody says to you, puts a gun to your head and says, I want you to commit this aveira with whatever one of the arayos is here, what's the law? The law is you die by them. You don't live by them. So of all the things to write, v'chai b'hem, why would you write v'chai b'hem right here? So Rashi, yeah.
Yeah, but if he's saying, don't do this, and that will cause you to live. Because if you do it, you're going to die.
Right, but so...
The law is, it's Lotar saying, it's don't do this.
Yeah, but we use v'chai b'hem to say that you got to live by it, and you don't give up your life. Meaning, you know, like there, we don't have like this martyrdom type religion, even though like the Jewish people by are very like, you know, history, there's a lot of that, but we don't typically view it that way. So if somebody says, eat a cheeseburger, I'll kill you. It's like, all right, you know, the only shaila is, do you wash and bench? You know, like, v'chai b'hem, you live by it. So why would it be where we're using this pasuk v'chai b'hem, which is like the basis for the idea of, you should not give up your life for all these things. All of a sudden, right afterwards, we're told, but we're giving you the arayos, which I think Shmuel was the one that said it, you got to die by it.
Yeah, but it's also not only that was made, but there was a stuma there, the samach. I mean, it's not directly connected. I mean, yeah, obviously there, you know, samach partial is zulazu, but there is this separation there. There's no reason to think it's not going on. The previously said psukim, which are all, they're either positive or they're like double negatives. But
what's right before it? It's like, that's the introduction to arayos. The introduction to arayos
is... I don't know.
Mavet Petoros is what you're talking about. The Maturim lived by the same things we're telling, the relations were saying not to. They said there were so many firstborns that passed away because of these relations. They were surprised at how bad their society was. If you want to live, then don't do these, because this is how they died.
All right, like I was saying, whoever said before, I get Henry, yeah, live by this. Like, don't do that, and okay, but, yeah, I mean, it's...
All right,
It's the question.
Right, so I guess the question could simply be, if you don't like... You know, 100% would just be why do we need to v'chai b'hem right here in the midst of all this? It just doesn't seem like necessary. But if you want to say the answer is because you're going to live by it, okay. We'll take a look at Rashi. So actually, Rashi is not on this.
There's another thing textually that you can look at.
Okay.
Some of the psukim end here with ani Hashem lokechem, and a lot of them end with ani Hashem. Right. So if you look at the first pasuk ends with Ani Hashem Lokechem. The next one does also, and then this one ends with Ani Hashem. The pasuk after that ends with Ani Hashem, and then Ani Hashem Ani Hashem, and then at the beginning of Yutet, it's Ani Hashem Lokechem. So it switches back and forth. But this pasuk and the next pasuk both end with Ani Hashem.
Right. So I don't know why that is. It's a very good point, Mati. Can't give you the why, but sometimes those are important things to note. Even if we don't have a good answer, I have to thank everyone. Sometimes on this new platform of learning virtually, there's not a whole lot of back and forth, so it is nice to hear everyone's voice. So Rashi says the following. Sorry, it's not on the Makoros. I found that it was in that Rabbi Riskin used it after they were already printed, the one copy, and my notes are already written on the page. Okay, so here we go. It is Pasuk. It's a Pasuk Hey. So Pasuk Hey, Rashi says the following. So he says, V'chai b'hem li'olam haba. So he says, you can't say it's V'chai b'hem in the next world. Im tomar b'olam hazeh v'lo sofa hu meit. In the end, you're going to die. So it can't be V'chai b'hem if you live this way. It's going to whatever. But we're talking about living in the next world. So if you do all of these things and you keep this sanctity, so what's going to happen is, v'chai b'hem, you're going to live in the next world. Okay. So let's hold off on that for a sec, and now let's continue on Pasuk Vav. Ish el kol sher besaro lo tikruvu legalot erva ani Hashem. So a person has this obligation that they're not allowed to come close to these different ervas, right? The different arayos, ani Hashem. Ervat avicha, ervat imcha lo tagalei, your father, your mother, right? You can't uncover imcha hi lo tagalei ervata, right? And even if it's not your mother, it's your father's wife, who's not your mother, all these things are forbidden to you. So what happens? So now we're going to skip because I don't think we need to go into every single bit along the way of the Erevas. But what do we have? Then we go at the very end. You cannot have a relationship with your friend's wife. And then it ends off, right? You cannot give your child over to Molech, and lo techalel Hashem lo kech ani Hashem, and you cannot profane the name of God, so says Hashem. Okay, so that is how it ends. So the last of the arayos, it's not really arayos, is giving your child to Molech. But that somehow makes it in here. Now, you'll say it's the very end, so what? But still, it's a little bit weird that that's how it goes. Why does it end with that one? So now let's take a look at the next source. Daber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, God speaks to Moshe, saying, Daber al kol adap b'nei Yisrael, v'marto lehem kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem lokeichem. Speak to all the Jewish people and say to them, kedoshim to you, you should be kadosh, ki kadosh ani Hashem lokeichem, because I am holy too. You have to respect your fear, your parents, keep Shabbos. So again, Ani Hashem Lokeichem, I am the Lord your God. So now, that's the beginning of Kedoshim. Why do I need that? I need that just to take us to the end of the Perek. So right after the Arayos of Achremos, we're taught about Kedoshim to you. And then at the very end, the last bit of Kedoshim before the Arayos is V'chi Agur Itchem Ger Ba'artzichem. If there's going to be a ger that's living in your midst, lo tonu oso. You cannot mistreat him. Kezach mikem ye lachem hager agar itchem. So you have to treat him like one of your own. V'hafta lo kamocha. If to love him like you love yourself, ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem lokeichem. Right, because you also were gerim once upon a time in Egypt, ani Hashem lokeichem. Lo tasu avil b'mishpat, you cannot do injustice in judgment, b'mida, b'mishkal, u'v'msura, in all of your measurements. Mosnei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifa tzedek, v'hin tzedek, yelachem. So your measurements, your stones, your weights, your dry ingredients, right? They have to be tzedek. Ani Hashem lokeichem. So says God. Ani Hashem lokeichem. Asher otzeiti etchem me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. Ushmartem kol chukotai v'kol mishpatai v'asitem otam. Ani Hashem. And you have to do all of these things. So says God. So Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says on the bottom of the page, the first page, avnei tzedek. So, you know, back in the day, right, we're used to scales where you go on it and it gives you a number. But back when they had like measurements of scales like that, so what did they have? They would have like a rock that was certified to be a certain amount, and they would put it on the scale and then they would balance it out with the other one. So, you know, the goal was if the rock, which was a pound, you know, and you were selling a pound of whatever, they had to balance themselves out. So Rashi says, Eifa hi midat hayavesh. Eifa is a dry weight. Hin zo midat alach. And hin is a liquid weight. Asher otzeiti etchem, I took you out. Al manat kein. God took us out for this reason. It's an amazing thing. God took us out of Egypt for one reason. To have honest weights and measures. Right. Now, you could think of so many different things. If I were to tell you God took us out of Egypt for one thing, what would you say? to worship him, to serve Hashem, right? Yeah. Keep Shabbos. Say again?
He made a promise to Aaron.
Right, okay, so... Right, so if you say that, then it's not even that we, you know, necessarily deserved it, but there was a relationship with the Avos that kind of ensured that we were going to go free. So, but to say that Rashi's statement is a pretty big deal. I'm going to ask Cain. That's the reason why God took us out. God took us out for these good measures. Davar acher, another reason is, and hivchanti ben Simon tipa shel b'chor l'tipa she'ena shel b'chor. When God was in Egypt, or when we were in Egypt, God was able to judge and tell the difference between a tipa shel b'chor, right? Who was a b'chor and who was not? So God says, if I was able to do that, I was able to know, right, which seed came from a child that was the Bechor and which not, then God says, I certainly have the ability to look very carefully and notice if you coat your weights with something, so it says it's a pound, but it really is more. That's what he says. Okay, so God is saying that he expects us to be honest. So that's the very end of Perek Yud Tes. And then we go into Perek Chaf, which is the Arayos once again. So the Arayos start off, Idaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. God speaks to Moshe, saying, Vel B'nei Yisrael Tomar, say to the Jewish people, Ishish B'nei Yisrael Menagera Garbi Yisrael, Sheritem Mizaro L'molech Mot Yumat, Am Aretz Yirgamu B'Oven. So who's the very first? What's the very first piece in Arayos? So even if you're going to make the argument that the reason why in Perek Yud Ches it has the Arayos that it lists has Molech in it, it's not really Arayos, you'll say it's at the very end and it's just like a throwaway, which a lot of these Parshiot, we do struggle to try to understand the flow. But here, Molech is the very beginning. So it's not a throwaway, it is like the essence, right? What's up with that? Okay, any thoughts? All right, so let's continue. Vaniya tena panai b'ishahu, God says that if this happens, right, that somebody's doing this, so I will turn my face towards them. I think Rashi points out it's panai. Panai is my face, but panai, God will make his time free, so to speak, to get this person. And God says, I will cut them off from amongst the people. Why? Because he gave over his children to Molech. And he was metame the mikdash, and he was mechalel my name. V'mhalem yalim u'amaretz at the name of Yeshu. What happens if people say, ugh, just don't want to deal with this guy? So they look the other way. So what does God say? So that cannot happen, right? If people do that, levilti amitoto, they don't kill him. Samti na panai b'yishahu mishachto. I'm going to turn towards these people and his family. God says, I will cut them all off. Now, this is a lot more Molech time than in the previous, you know, Pasuk. In the previous Pasuk, it was like, Pasuk, right? Just Pasuk of Aleph, stay away from Molech. But here, it's like Mamish going into like all the different things. Don't do it. If you do it, what's going to happen? Not only that, but God says, let's not forget the Ovos and the Yudonim, right? The people that could talk to the dead and tell the future. God says, I'm going to put my face towards them also. And I will cut them out from amongst the people. God says, I will make you holy, and you will be holy, because I am the Lord your God. So then it says, keep the mitzvos that I ask you. Right, if you curse your parents, that's really bad. You're going to die. And a man that commits adultery with a woman, they're both going to die, right? The man, the adulterer and the adulteress. If a person sleeps with his father's wife, so he's uncovered the nakedness of his father, and they'll both die. So again, what? So much time spent on the arayos. I mean, it's like really, really crazy. And it's amazing because there's so many things in the Torah that get so little time. And we have this one parsha of arayos that we get so much to talk about. And not only that, but we even make it like the Yom Kippur laning, right? Like Mincha of Yom Kippur, we're like, okay, just really important to know that we need to talk about arayos. Really? Like, why? Why would we do that on Yom Kippur at the end of the day? You would think, like, at the end, and I think I didn't have that in my questions, but I think it's a fair question to ask. Like, why would you need that? But it's the end of the day. If you're going to, like, what would be a message you would want to share with people at the end of Yom Kippur? It's Mincha time. If you were going to give a message to people, what would it be?
Tshuva.
Yeah, okay. So where... Yes. Say that one more time. Yeah, it's probably a better time, right? Because people are like, whoa, like this is the end of the game. I need it.
Well, so, these are things that there is no tshuva for.
Right, but I'm saying, like, why would you do that at this point in time? And, like, this is not a new minhag. Like, in the Beis HaMikdash, as part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, they read the Parshas Ha'arayos. Why? Like, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you see the Kohen Gadol, he's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Mare Kohen. What? You think I need to hear Arayos now? I would think. You want to tell me to say Kadoshim to you? Fine, I'll lame Kedoshim to you, because what do I realize now? Wow, look at this.
It's also a reminder that all the things, you're at the base of Mikdash, you're in the shul, and everything you're doing is very public. But arayos are very private. And it's just a reminder that it's your tshuva is, and you know, towards the end of the day, don't forget about the things that you're not going to be shouting out to your neighbors that are going on.
Okay.
Also, to get an answer, I mean, it's not new. I think it's an article in Machzor and elsewhere that, especially back at the time in the Beis Mikdash when there's Ola Regel, right? That after this, there's Neila, and then you're heading out into party time, basically, with lots of people in one big place. And apparently, at the time, it was more of a potential issue with Arayos, and they need that reminder then.
All right, so I guess the argument could be made because in the Beis HaMikdash there wasn't necessarily separate seating, and certainly when they, I know that's like pretty pretty crazy to hear, but and when we leave, you know, like people are all there, but even so, like, I don't know, it's like hard to imagine Mincha time. Okay, maybe Mincha time in the Beis HaMikdash when they did it, it was the afternoon, like for real, when they got to there, like maybe about the same time as we're up to. That, like, people are just wiped, and like to me, Maftir Yona, at least, like, that's a story I could relate to, right? Like, I'm not thinking on Yom Kippur, wow, you know, my neighbor's wife, like, that's where I'm at, right? But I am thinking on Yom Kippur, okay, like, I did this last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and I seem to be back in the same place again. Oh, isn't that Yona's message?
Well, isn't it interesting, as we say, not alone at the end of davening, that it's the beginning of the next davening. So you're now at the end of all your tefillah for Yom Kippur, and you have a reminder of, these are the things you must remember before you start out the next year. Do not do these items. You're about to walk into your new life.
Thank you so much. I hear that. So, Yosef Aryeh, because you can't pass me a cup virtually, I had to, like, text someone downstairs to bring one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hear that, but I don't know. I mean, you ever read, like, the Al-Khait pamphlet, like, that they have where, like, they tell you what the real meaning of the Al-Khaits are? Like, as though they're not bad enough. Like, Al-Khait she-chatan about Begila Rayos, you know, all these things, and you're, like, clapping all day long. Like, somebody once pointed out, they're like, you know, if you really read through them carefully, we're not that bad. I don't think there are too many people in shul that sit there like, holy cow, I do actually almost every single one of those. Like, I think most of us sit there, like, when we really think about it, and that's usually, like, the first time around. Like, by the end of the day, we're like, just, okay, I got this, right? Like, I'm just going to keep banging away, and we'll be done. But most of us, I think, look at them and say, like, I don't do any of these things. Like, this is not my thing. So why is it part of Yom Kippur davening? So I agree, Greg, and I agree, Shmuel, that what we're, you know, the art scroll answer is, you know, we got to worry about what's coming next. And coming up next is going to be, you know, getting 5 days of getting ready for Sukkot, and it's a time where a lot of people, older Agil, you don't have to be there for Yom Kippur, but you're going to be there for Sukkot. You have to be there, right? It's a time of a lot of laxity, and yeah. But I'd like to believe that there is possibly a different answer and maybe a better answer. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, the last one on page 1 says, L'tameit mikdashi. How does molech work? Molech, we say we don't want it to, right? We don't want to be metamei the mikdash. What's the mikdash? Ekneset Yisrael. That's the Jewish people. Shehi mikudeshet li. The Jewish people are married to God. And God says, I do not want them to become defiled. So molech somehow breaks the relationship with God. So how exactly does that work? So let's take a look at the second page. The Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra says, Umilat lahavir. Lahavir et zaro lamolech. To pass your child by molech. Kamo lisrof. To burn them. Kizo taita avodato. Because that was the avoda. You burnt your kid. So that's pretty crazy. Why would you burn your kid? So v'yeshomrim ki avir ben aleish. There were, right, so there's a good question. One possible explanation of, which is at least this answer of the Ibn Ezra, molech was you took your child, it's like Indiana Jones style, and you chucked your kid into the fire, and the kid burnt up. The Yesh Omrim, he says, and there are those that say, Ki avira ben ala eish, and there are those that say you walk your kid between the fire. Some will live and some will die. V'acherim pirshu b'avor sheinu pasuk zecher eish lavir mitorat Hashem ledet hamolech v'chilalt Hashem shu nikra lecha sheu elokecha betitcha mizera kodesh lamolech. So there is another possibility that says that it, there, right, well, if you read the pasuk, there's no fire there. Right, what does it say? What was this? Lavir b'no lamolech. If you flip back to the previous page, so Sasher Yiten Mizaro Lamolech. If you give your child to Molech, right, there is nowhere in there. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the in Achremos, Mizaracha lo titen lavir lamolech. There's no fire being mentioned there. You're just walking your kid through it. So the Ibn Ezra says it could just be that you're giving over your child to Molech. And then he says, Vagon Amar. Rav Sadia Gaon said, this is a different topic, Kianiuf al shmone mailos. There are 8 levels of arayos. And there's worse and worse and worse. Vakoshej b'chula mabehema. The worst one is bestiality, right? Even society nowadays, we've grown very lax in our, you know, things of what we say is, you know, forbidden in Arayos, but bestiality is still one that is, you know, it's looked down upon. So what does he say? That's the worst, because it's Miminacher, right? When a person sleeps with an animal, it's from a different species. V'achareha, and after that is a zachar. It's the male, right? So that's homosexuality. Shekal amin asur, because all men are asur to men. V'achareha ervas eishes avachavei reha. And afterwards, it's the relations to your father, because those are forbidden forever. And then he says each one is a less and less and less gradation until you get to what would be, I guess, the lightest of the arayos, according to Rav Sadia Gaon. So the Ibn Ezra says, "V'lo arich, I'm not going to spend more time on this. Ki lo yo'ilu elu advarim. What does it mean?" He says. So if you're going to tell me that bestiality is the worst, and sleeping with your stepmom is not as bad, that's only like the third level. And then I could even take you to the eighth level. He says, like, who cares? Because at the end of the day, the punishment is kares for all of them. So whether it's the dog, the male, your mom, they're all equally bad. So he says, I don't know why Rav Sadia Gaon has to even go and discuss that. He says they're all forbidden totally. Okay, what we have to try to understand, that we had a lot of questions, six of them, and so far no real answers. Why do we spend so much time on arayos? What's the deal with Berchas Eirusin? It's so unromantic. Why do we have all these things? Yotzer Adam, Gan Eden, Mashiach. How does that work into Sheva Brachos? How does V'chai Behem connect to Arayos? How does Kedoshim connect to Arayos? What are the Midos, right? The measurements have to do with Arayos. And what is Molech? Why does Molech bookend both sides of the Arayos? It's the last one on the first side, and it's the first one on the second side. Those are all of my questions. So Rashi said, V'chai bahem li'olam haba. When we're told that V'chai bahem, you're going to live by them, understand, you're not living by it forever in this world. There's no reward in this world for doing these things, really. If a person puts a gun to your head and says, do this or I'll kill you, you die for it. But rather, Rashi says, it's l'olam haba. Rav Riskin quotes, it's an interesting explanation, but I was like, I know that name that he quoted. Obviously, the article was written a long time ago, but the rabbi that he quotes was unfortunately arrested for arayos. How ironic is that? So I chose not to share that answer, but Rabbi Riskin's answer is a very good one. He says, when we say Le'olam Haba, maybe we're talking about a different context. He says, I want to be careful that I don't want to like corrupt Rashi's text. So maybe you'll either say it's a Hasidish interpretation of it, or maybe perhaps it is a slightly expanded way of looking at it. In a historical sense, the way the Jewish people have kept living, there's really two pieces that have kept us going all these years. The first one is unquestionably the fact that God allows us to stick around, right? There's no reason that the Jews should still be here. We defy probability on a regular basis. But what keeps us going? So A, it's that God cares about us. It's a side note, but a beautiful one. So, I don't know. My daughter, Ariella, she gets like these WhatsApp, like Torah thoughts every once in a while through NCSY and whatever. So she sends one to me today and she goes, you're going to really like this. So it's Rabbi Penner. And, you know, in our family, like we know that Rabbi Penner was our first shul rabbi when we, when we got married. So, you know, Rabbi Penner was talking about, like, how does tefillah work exactly? So he says something really fascinating. He says, like, generally, like, what we think is that God cares. Like, we get together, but tzibur, right? So what happens if we were at Jeremy's house, we wouldn't have started learning quite as early because we'd be eating. And then, you know, right now we'd be just about hitting like the 9:30 mark. We'd have our cookies and whatever, and we'd be over. We all daven together. And we, yeah, oh, Greg is so prepared. I ate my cookies so many times today, I couldn't like, you know, think about bringing one. But yeah, so what we end the chabura, interesting, well, not interestingly, we all have to daven Maariv, right? So we end the chabura with Maariv. It's been a really long time since we've davened, since most of us or all of us have davened with a minyan. And it's like a weird thing, you know, like, so I don't know. I tried like, you know, one of these like virtual minyanim one time. I don't know, it didn't do it for me. But what's the purpose of davening with a tzibur? So we often think that somehow when we come together to daven, what happens is there is such power to our tefillah that it's like the express elevator up to God. The problem with that, like viewing it that way, is then the reason why God accepts my tefillah is that who does he care about? He doesn't really care about me, meaning it's almost like Times Square on New Year's Eve. You're just a statistic. There's going to be no way that's going to be a, you know, make sense with social distancing. But you've got millions of people crowded into these few blocks, and you're there, but you're not really, you're just a speck. That's how people view it. So tefillah b'tzibur is often viewed that way. I'm just a speck, but when you put us all together, you ride our coattails up to Shemayim. So he says, we're selling ourselves short. He says, why? How does davening really work? Davening works that God cares about you. Right? God looks and says, oh, you know what? Michael showed up again today. It's nice to see him. And Rabbi Penner shares like a great analogy, which makes perfect sense. Right? Your kid has their sitter play. Your grandchild has their sitter play. You're super excited. You're going to go. You're going to show up. If the door is open at 8:30, you'll be waiting at 8:15 so, you know, you can get good seats in the front and the whole thing. At 7:30 in the morning, you're ready to leave your house so you can get to the place in time. And your kid calls, if it's your grandchild or if it's your own child, they're in your house. And you hear that your kid has fever, 101 degrees. There's no way that this kid can get up there. The question is, do you go to the sitter play anyway? The answer is, no, you don't go to the sitter play. Why would you waste your time going to the sitter play if your child's not in there? The only reason you're there is because you want to see your child. Rabbi Penner says that's the koach ha-tefillah. God looks and says, I'm coming to see you. And therefore, if you're not there, God's disappointed because God wanted to see you. It's an interesting way of understanding the relationship we have with God. So God come, right? The reason why we're still here is God, because God cares about us. But what does God care about? So this is where I think the Arayos play into it. And this takes us back to Sheva Brachos. At Sheva Brachos, we're giving a bracha to the Chasan and Kala, and the first bracha we give to them is the notion of Aser Lanos Harusos. We're saying to the Chasan and Kala, God has forbidden all these unions, but the two of you right now, this is a union that God has agreed to. It's sanctioned. And what is it all about? It's all about Reyim Ahuvim, Yotzer Adam. What happened in Gan Eden? God took Adam and Chava, they got married, what, you know, so to speak, and they become what? They become a family. The goal of the Jewish people for all of time was to make families. That's what it is. The sanctity of the Jewish family is so critical to the continuity of the Jewish people. And so, Jewish families that continue to maintain the tradition. Yes, Jews have been lost to attrition and to lots of other things over time, but the sanctity of the Jewish family is what continues to keep us plodding along through history. That's what God says. Without the sanctity of family, there's no future. When Rashi says, V'chai bahem, le'olam haba, says it by Riskin, do you know what I'm talking about? We're talking about le'olam haba for the future of the Jewish people, for the continuity of the Jewish people. In order for the Jewish people to continue to be who they are, it's based exclusively on the sanctity of family life. That's what we need to do. We express that at the chuppah, that there's an absolute need to dedicate each other, obviously to not commit adultery, but it's so much more than that. We're saying that there's an absolute need to dedicate ourselves to our family. I want to take a look with you right now at the last source, the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, why does it say Ani Hashem in the Arayos? So it says, Lo Shaniti Shanishpati Lios Elokecha Bamri LaAvram LiOtochal Elokim LaZaracha Charecha. The reason why I swore to Avram that I would be his God and his children afterwards, is Mimnesha Dibir Ala Arayos. Because he spoke about the Arayos, Lachshira Zera Shigyehe Ra'ui L'chul Alav Shmi HaGadol Dibir Ala Molech. He says, you know what the guy that gives his kid over to Molech is doing wrong? The whole purpose of the Jewish people was the sanctity of the family. And this man is saying, I am willing to give up my family. I'm willing to give up my child, which is the entire essence of the Jewish people. He's willing to give it up for this foreign worship. That, says God, as the Sfarno ends, is Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of God's name. And what does it do? Goreim. It causes L'slok Shechinato Me'al Shar HaZera. It eliminates God from the midst of the Jewish people. The bedrock of Judaism, says Rabbi Riskin, is the family, and Molech is the antithesis of that. You're giving up the very notion of Bris Avraham. So, I think that answers most of our questions. It explains why Molech is so fundamental to the Arayos, even though it doesn't seem like one of the Arayos. The only question I think we still did not really answer, two questions. First of all, what does Gan Eden and Mashiach have to do with the Berachos Sheva Brachos? But I think what we're telling the Chassan and Kala is, Yotzer Adam, and you're going to end off with, Mehera Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Bi'arei Yehuda V'chutzos Yerushalayim Kol Sasum Kol Simcha, right? We're waiting for those days. We're starting from the beginning and we're going to the end. And we're saying that everything in the middle will only stand if it's standing on the sanctity of family. So it leaves us with one question, with one last question. Kedoshim and the parsha of the weights, how do those form the other bookend between Arayos? Meaning we have Molech, Kedoshim, all those mitzvos, the weights, and then Molech again. So we said Molech and the Arayos are family life. Kedoshim is, you want to be holy. And the weights, what are they? So I think it's kind of like this. There are two pieces to what we want to instill in our family. We hope that we love our children, and we hope that they feel loved in return. Anybody that's a parent knows that that's really, really hard. Our children are complicated. They don't make life easy. But we try. We try our best. But we don't want, and this I've said before in the past, I don't know who I've quoted. Probably it's either Rabbi Riskin or Rabbi Sachs. We don't just want to teach our children that we love them. And we don't want to just be a wonderful family, right? That's the Brady Bunch. I'm inspired. I spend my day looking at like Zoom boxes and now these boxes. That's what we look like. We look like the Brady Bunch. That's not what we want to teach our children. We want to instill in our children values. So what are those values? I think that's the Kedoshim Tiyu. Arayos, Molech, family, sanctity, Kedoshim. What's Kedoshim? That's Ben Adam L'Makom. We need to teach our children the importance of Ben Adam L'Makom. All these mitzvos. Tell them, they got to keep them. But this is, I think, where the mistake is sometimes made. Sometimes we teach, in some cases, this is like, it's a fascinating, like, you know, study of the way the way Judaism works and different branches of Orthodoxy. In some branches of Orthodoxy, we'll say that the focus is what? It's all on Bein Adam L'Makom. You got to daven. You got to daven with minyan. Even as Shmuel sent me, I think it was Shmuel sent me a great, like, cartoon or, you know, one of these, like, you know, jokes about, like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he would want us to daven with minyan now, right? This is what we need. It's all the Bein Adam L'Makom. But then it misses the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And then you have other sects of Judaism that say, no, you got to be good, tikkun olam, we got to take care of things. I mean, everybody will tell you they're right, but I think, I feel at least to a certain extent, modern Orthodoxy does a good job of balancing it. Torah Mada, we learn, but we still work. But we're also involved in the chesed and all those things. But I think whoever you are and whatever part of Judaism one identifies with, the bedrock of Judaism is family, but family will only continue to be the Jewish family if it's instilled with these two sets of values. Kedoshim Tiyu at the beginning and Mosnei Tzedek. If a person has one without the other, they're not genuinely from. If they are dedicated to all of these, the hope is that they've invested in all the tools for their family to succeed. But I will add, or I'll end, that with all of this, you could do all of this. Keep the arayos. Of course, nobody's going to give their children over to Molech, but we take the message of the Sfarno, and we care about our children, and we instill them with these good Jewish values, and we could do Kedoshim Tiyu, and at the same time we could do Mosnei Tzedek. You do all of that, there's still no guarantees. That's the amazing thing about children. With children, there is a piece of it at the end, which is just siyata d'shmaya. That we have to daven to God that God could help us. But that's where we have to remember what Rabbi Penner said. God really cares about us. And God looks at each and every one of us and says, I do care about each of the people as an individual on the planet, not just as a collective. And so, God willing, it should be that God should give us the strength and the success to be able to successfully navigate through these parshios and their values in order to ensure that we're able to raise children that are going to continue in this chain, li'olam haba.